Welcome to Hacker News Daily, the Bree podcast that brings you one quick pass through the tech stories people are talking about right now. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo. Today we've got AI models allegedly cracking decades-old math problems, a new open-source speech-to-text project, LG monitors quietly installing software through Windows Update, and more. Let's check in.
So, a Reddit math thread has been making the rounds, and it's built around a pretty striking claim. GPT-5.6, given a specific prompt, closed a 30-year gap in convex optimization.
Right, and the original poster on that thread is careful to qualify what that actually means. They said, and I'm quoting here, "I wouldn't really say that this result is using or creating some fundamentally new techniques in convex geometry or optimization theory."
That's an important caveat. Their perspective is basically this. If a result is attainable with existing techniques, then modern AI methods will be able to solve those kinds of problems.
And that leads them to a conclusion about where human researchers still fit in. They say researchers in math and theoretical computer science will not be made obsolete.
But the flip side is, it will no longer make sense to work on what they call low-hanging or even medium-hanging fruit. Researchers will still be needed, but specifically for problems where genuinely novel approaches are required.
And one commenter in the thread framed this shift in a really evocative way. They called it simply, the new big question.
Now let's turn to a deep dive by Charles Azam that compares Fable 5 and GPT-5.6 Sol on an NP-hard combinatorial optimization problem. This is a test of OpenAI's new goal directive.
And as one commenter on Hacker News noted, this problem is, quote, literally made for this because the goal is straightforward. Minimize total traveling distance. The headline chart plots the number of steps explored against the best distance found.
Now that chart sparked a bit of a debate. The y-axis is labeled lower is better. But commenter Tylio pointed out a visual issue. Higher values appear at the top of the chart, so a visually higher data point actually represents a larger, worse distance.
But commenter Layer 8 pushed back on that reading. They said the axis runs from 32,000 at the bottom to 40,000 at the top. So from their perspective, the axis was not actually inverted.
The core of the article is about how the goal system prompt changes planning behavior on a task where exhaustive search just isn't feasible. Goal is intended to keep the model oriented toward a long horizon objective.
And here's where practitioner experience comes in. HN user 01044-9366 shared that Goal has replaced plan mode in 95% of their AI work. Their pattern is to ask the model to read a specific feature and confirm understanding, repeating until no detail is missing.
The article itself doesn't declare a definitive winner between Fable 5 and GPT-5.6 Sol. But the discussion signals that practitioners are rapidly shifting their prompting strategies around this new directive. We've also got a conversation around what people are calling the Kimi K3 moment. This centers on a blog post by Stephen Bochinski that lit up on Hacker News.
And the thread went in a couple of interesting directions. One commenter questioned whether the post itself was written by Kimi K3 or by Fable, while another argued the writing didn't read like AI-generated content at all.
There was also a separate concern raised several times in the discussion. Worries about sending data to Chinese AI models.
And then a whole different exchange broke out around finding an up-to-date 1,000 cost calculator that actually accounts for token efficiency. Two specific recommendations came up. The deepsweb.datacurve.ai and artificialanalysis.ai Pareto frontier graphs.
Finally, something that caught a lot of attention on Hacker News. OpenAI's chat platform Codex appears to implement a message limit reset window that is much wider than the stated per session window.
Yeah, the upshot is that heavy users can send thousands of messages while staying on a basic plan. Users report session windows claiming a cutoff after a small number of messages, Yet the reset keeps moving back automatically.
One user described sending 3,400 messages in a week under a plan that advertises 500 per week. That observation was published on a dedicated site at codexresets.com.
And several commenters were quick to point out they have not seen the same behavior from Anthropic's Claude. One said Claude reset a limit once, calling it, quote, nothing like Codex. Another mentioned their personal pro plan shows a reset tomorrow instead of cutting off.
The Hacker News discussion also flagged an apparent Anthropic outage for the Fable model yesterday, which required extra usage. One comment speculated the company is getting ready for something, though no further details on that readiness were given in the same thread.
So, between the Codex reset behavior and the Anthropic outage mention, it's a snapshot of two very different approaches to usage limits playing out right now.
Google DeepMind and Isomorphic Labs have published a joint document called Our Approach to Bioresilience, laying out how they're applying AI to biodefense.
The post hit Hacker News, and the discussion got interesting fast. One commenter, who said they're a Google shareholder, was blunt about it. They're disappointed with the company's recent performance and want Google focused on competing with Anthropic and OpenAI, not biodefense.
And then someone else pushed back with a pretty concise counter. They said, essentially, look, as a biological human, I'm glad Google is dedicating AI resources to biodefense.
That same thread also turned toward Anthropic. One comment claimed Anthropic makes the most noise about AI safety and is, quote, the frontier model player to watch. The argument was that Anthropic operates with fewer resources and a smaller user base than OpenAI, but still punches competitively.
Shifting gears. The EU ban on destroying unsold clothes and shoes entered into application on July 17, 2026, according to the European Commission. The regulation is designed to cut down on intentional industrial waste in fashion.
The Hacker News discussion surfaced some real-world skepticism. One person asked how long it'll take before companies just ship unsold goods abroad, where they become toxic bonfires.
Someone else noted that kind of dumping can also be penalized and argued the whole point is to move humanity forward with respect for the planet.
A third commenter took a more cautious stance. They said the intent is worthwhile, but it's very hard to close loopholes and stop exploitation of exemptions. And not every regulation is the right way to achieve the outcome.
Now to Portland, where Mayor Shabnam Mamdani has issued an executive order that bars landlords from using any AI-generated or AI-altered images to advertise residential rental properties. It's effective immediately and is believed to be a first of its kind among large U.S. cities.
The order mandates that all listing photos must represent the actual, unaugmented condition of the unit. It explicitly prohibits generative fill, AI sky replacement, digitally staged furniture, basically any edits that materially alter how a room or building appears.
The mayor's office says this responds to a rise in prospective tenants who travel to viewings only to find a unit that looks substantially different from its online gallery. The rules apply to platforms like Zillow, Apartments.com, and property management portals.
A landlord trade association said it's still evaluating the order's legal scope and enforcement mechanism. Tenant advocates, on the other hand, called it a clear baseline for honest advertising.
In an online discussions tied to the announcement, some technologists argued that similar bans deserve consideration in other areas: gambling, dating, hiring, and advertising more broadly. Finally, researchers have taken a close look at CubesOS's public security track record. The analysis notes that because Cubes was designed to be lean, many of its components come from upstream rather than custom code.
One participant in the discussion, who's familiar with the complementary Honix project, said this isn't surprising. They reflected on how Cubes' architecture, for example, running MS Office in its own guest, might be applied beyond security hardening.
Their suggestion was that over a decade of hypervisor development could make previously impractical experiments more feasible now.
And the paper's author actually joined the discussion and offered to answer questions, Which is the kind of direct engagement you love to see on a research post?
Hacker News is chewing over a traffic graph for Stack Overflow, and the timeline might surprise you. The graph shows the platform's decline was already underway well before large language models arrived on the scene. One commenter notes the downturn was visible even before COVID.
Right. So the core slide predates the AI hype cycle entirely. But here's where it gets more complicated. The same discussion also points out that the decline noticeably accelerated in 2023, which is exactly when tools like ChatGPT started gaining real traction.
So it's not a simple before and after story. There's a pre-existing downward trend, and then a sharper drop that lines up with the AI moment.
Exactly. Another commenter goes further and argues that without AI, that downward trend might have stalled or even reversed. The implication is that Stack Overflow was already weakened, and AI delivered the heavier blow.
And the structural reason comes from yet another comment. Stack Overflow was already struggling because its original design aimed to make it the canonical programming reference. That model works less well when developers can just ask a model and get an answer instantly.
It's a painful irony. A site built to be the ultimate human-curated reference sees that very proposition challenged by machines that can synthesize the same knowledge in real time.
Now to a piece titled, Goodbye and Thanks for All the Beachheads. A commenter writing under the handle, Close4, pushes back hard against the idea that protocols can be designed to coexist neatly with a nation of laws.
Their argument is stark. They call it an illusion and say technical privacy is binary. Either it's technically guaranteed, or it doesn't exist at all.
And they take that reasoning a step further. If a breach is technically allowed, they argue, it will inevitably become routine under legal cover.
They point to stingrays as the real-world example. These are devices that essentially impersonate cell towers, and Close04 says they enabled bulk surveillance of innocent people with flimsy excuses, even though the underlying protocols were already maximally compatible with the law.
So the point is, legal compatibility doesn't protect you if the technical door is left open. Once the capability exists, legal processes will find a way through it.
That's the core of the argument. The design question isn't how to make a protocol minimally compatible with the law. It's whether the protocol makes certain kinds of access technically impossible in the first place.
Over on ShowHN, a user named Dr. Dater has posted something that'll resonate with anyone who spent time in a certain era of first-person shooters. It's called Q3 Edit, and it's a browser-based level editor for Quake 3.
And this isn't a lightweight toy. It offers Radiant-style layout, brush and patch editing, CSG, terrain sculpting, and entity editing. You can open and save .map files, and maps can be played directly in the browser through a WebAssembly build of EOQuake 3.
So the full pipeline, from editing to playing, all lives in the browser. Another user, Bishop Dynamics, praised the project and linked to Fabian Sangrard's well-known Quake 3 engine write-ups.
Bishop Dynamics also mentioned their own Continuum project, which explores old game engines. There's clearly a community of people who love pulling these classics apart and putting them back together on modern platforms.
And a user called Salty Astronaut chimed in with hope for browser-based play, calling the whole thing nostalgic. Which, I mean, if you remember LAN parties and rocket jumps, it absolutely is.
Let's close with a new open source project called transcribe.ccp. The goal is to make local speech-to-text inference simpler and more approachable.
One detail that caught attention on Hacker News? The creator emphasizes that none of the project's written words were generated by AI. They said the words came from, quote, my mouth or my fingers.
And a commenter responded that this makes the project feel more trustworthy and easier to approach. There's something about knowing the documentation and the code explanation came directly from a human that seems to matter to people.
On the technical side, another commenter noted that pairing transcribe.copp with a 500 kilobyte TTS model shows the full local stack coming together. Speech to text, text to speech, all running locally.
though not everyone was fully sold. A separate reply called a demo impressive, but said the audio still sounded robotic. So the pieces are there, but the polish is still a work in progress.
1. For my ability to come over the gather. It's a snapshot of where local private voice processing is right now. Functional, increasingly complete, and built by people who are leaving a deliberate human fingerprint on the work. Ben Landau Taylor is a longtime community organizer, and he has a story that's been making the rounds. He spent years building a local community that grew to 10,000 daily users.
That is a serious number for a local community. He says he got to the point where people would recognize him on the street.
Right. And then a lot of those people left. They moved over to what he calls Facebook's echo chambers. That stings when you've poured years into a space.
But here's the thing. He says the whole experience was still worthwhile. He doesn't frame it as a failure at all.
And he's got receipts. He recounts strangers telling him they found love through his facilitation. Others landed high-paying jobs.
So the connections he enabled had real, tangible outcomes that outlasted the community itself.
It wasn't all roses, though. He also describes a near molestation by a disgruntled member. And someone once threw a glass of Orval at him.
Orval, for anyone who doesn't know, is a respected Belgian Trappist beer. It's not cheap.
Exactly. And that detail caught the attention of commenters. One quipped that wasting Orval was the biggest sin in the whole story.
And then someone else replied, "Not if it was open source," which is a pretty good Hacker News punchline.
It is. But the core takeaway Taylor offers is that community building still pays off, even when the audience eventually moves on.
Switching gears, here's something Windows 11 users might want to check. LG monitors are silently installing companion software without asking.
A user reported discovering this after the fact. The uninstallation option was only available under the Microsoft Store library, not in the usual apps section of settings.
The delivery mechanism is Windows Update, specifically the driver package channel. That's the pipeline device manufacturers specifically demanded to get their drivers onto machines.
And the concern is that this channel is now being used for more than just drivers. Companion software is getting bundled into those same packages.
This practice is not unique to LG. Razer, Logitech, and Nvidia are among other manufacturers whose driver packages accepted into Windows Update also bundle additional software.
So if you've plugged in a peripheral from one of these companies, there's a good chance more than just a driver landed on your system.
It's a reminder that the Windows Update driver pipeline, built for convenience, also creates a path for software distribution that users don't explicitly approve.
That's our show for today. We ran from a Reddit thread claiming GPT-5.6 closed a 30-year convex optimization gap, all the way to LG monitors quietly installing companion software through Windows Update.
Along the way, we caught Charles Asm's deep dive pitting Fable 5 against GPT-5.6 Solon on an NP hard combinatorial problem, and the Kimi K3 moment that had Hacker News asking whether the benchmark itself was the one that needed fixing.
We flagged Codex's message limit reset window running far wider than advertised, and dug into DeepMind and Isomorphic Labs' new bioresilience framework. The EU ban on destroying unsold clothes and shoes, that one landed on 17 July 2026.
Portland Mayor Shabnam Mamdani dropped an executive order barring landlords from using AI-generated or AI-altered images in rental listings. We also looked at Cube OS's public security track record. Turns out being designed to be lean has kept its CVE count remarkably low.
Stack Overflow's traffic slide predates the chatbot wave. Close 4 signed off with a love letter to bike shedding. Dr. Dattor shipped Q3 Edit for browser-based Quake 3 mapping. And Transcribe.cap is making local speech-to-text a whole lot friendlier.
Ben Landau Taylor reminded us that community building still pays off even when the audience moves on. And that LG monitor story, definitely one to keep an eye on.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more next time.